Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Greg Cosell joins us. He's presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty. Call 833-THG-NASH, 833-THG-NASH. You can also visit David Huffaker and his team online, THGTN.com. Greg, how are you on this Wednesday?
So I guess, Jonathan, this will be like the Seinfeld show. We have nothing. It'll be nothing to talk about.
We'll just make some things up here.
About nothing?
We'll make some segments up.
It's a segment about nothing. That's what we're
doing
today.
There you go. That's what we're going to do here. I got it. I'm ready.
Greg, let's look at the start of the season for Mariota as a whole. Not just what we saw this past week that led to him being benched in the third quarter. But overall, how would you describe Mariota in year five in this offense and the way he has performed the quarterback position?
Well, let me start by saying this. I learned a long time ago from really smart people, smarter than I am, that when you evaluate quarterbacks, you isolate on the quarterback. Everything else becomes secondary. You can put up big numbers if you have great receivers and all those other things, but you isolate the quarterback and you look at his traits, characteristics, and attributes. And as you look at Marcus Mariota, and I didn't know he was going to be benched when I watched the tape. I watched the tape before it was announced, so I did not know that. I think that there's been a lot of the things we've spoken about for a number of years that consistently show up, and eventually what happens is they start to get a little worse. I think that he has mechanical issues with his lower body. He does not throw with a firm base, so he throws too many balls off balance. That impacts velocity and accuracy. He's not a turn-it-loose thrower. He's never developed what I would call a consistent feel for what is open in the NFL, especially versus man coverage. So what starts to happen is if you don't have success, you become even more tentative and uncertain in your delivery. And I guess the term people would use would say you lose confidence. So those are just a couple of things we've talked about. And then you just start playing very tentative, uncertain. I don't want to say scared because I don't know what's in his head, but you just can't execute the offense. And then what happens is the simple things don't get executed, like the quick out to Delaney Walker, which is a spot throw, which is a throw theoretically you could make with blindfolded because it's a spot throw on a timing route. So things like that start to happen, and they just snowball and they get worse.
Ryan Tannehill now enters this offense, 88 career starts, but there's a reason why he's available via trade and why Miami is paying part of his salary to not be on that roster. That just put aside for a moment, Greg.
Right.
When he did perform at a high level in Miami during those productive stretches, what was going well for Ryan Tannehill? What should we expect at Tannehill peak performer?
Much more of a turn-it-loose thrower. I would say stronger and firmer in the pocket. I remember when it looked like Tannehill was on his way to being a very solid NFL quarterback. I remember really doing a lot of research on him and seeing a ton of throws where he stood and delivered in the face of pressure. And I always think that that's a critical attribute for an NFL quarterback. We know he has movement as well. I remember in Miami seeing a lot of zone read elements to their game. Again, you don't want to use this game as sort of a look at what Tannehill is or isn't, but I think the throw he made to Firkser on 3rd and 12 late in the fourth quarter versus two-man coverage is a good example of what he is when he's at his best. That was a tight window throw versus man coverage, and he put it exactly where it had to be because the defender was undercutting him because it was two-man and he had help right over the top in the middle of the field. That's the kind of throw that has to be made in the NFL with consistency and with conviction. Now, having said all that, I think at times that Tannehill has not been very quick with what he sees, and he's been a beat slow in delivering the ball. And that in the NFL, that always comes back to haunt you. So again, we're not sitting here saying this is a panacea and all of a sudden Tom Brady's their quarterback, but I think there are some things that Tannehill does that's in his DNA that does not appear to be in Marcus's DNA.
Greg Cosell with us, presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty.
Will he use the full field more? It seemed like there's certain throws that Marcus just hasn't been comfortable making, and certain guys he just hasn't seen.
You know, that remains to be seen, because I can tell you for a fact that one reason that the former coaching staff in Miami was not thrilled with Tannehill is he didn't do just what you said, that they felt that they had to limit a number of things that they did in the past game because of Tannehill. So that's why I made the point that he doesn't see things at times as well as you would like your quarterback to see things, particularly a veteran quarterback, which, as Jonathan indicated, is why he was available and why a new coaching staff, you know, didn't come in and feel like, hey, he's our guy. So there's things that can be problematic with Tannehill as well. I think his overall sense of timing, though, is a little better than Marcus's, and maybe you'll see, you know, a passing game just function a little bit more efficiently. You know, Mariota did not turn balls loose that had to be turned loose. You know, and I remember there's a number of plays like that every week where the ball should be thrown, it's not, and then something bad happens. It could just be an incompletion. It could lead to a sack. But, you know, that's been a concern with Mariota for a good part of his career.
Greg, Tannehill's thrown a lot of picks, and I'll phrase this my way, and you can turn it into the way you would see the film better than I would here. Are those interceptions a product of panic under pressure, or is he just willing to take more risks downfield than what we've seen here in Tennessee with quarterbacks?
You know, and I don't remember, you know, all his picks, obviously, Jonathan.
Right.
I mean, I didn't go back and study every pick, you know, since he was named the starter yesterday. So
it's like determining which is the sack on the quarterback or the O-line.
Right.
I
think he's willing to turn it loose. I think he'll make throws under duress. And I think when you do that, and sometimes when you don't see things clearly, as we indicated, he sometimes doesn't, that can at times lead to picks. Then it becomes a balancing act. You walk the fine line between making throws, tight window throws that are absolutely necessary in the NFL, versus that balance between making some throws that you shouldn't make. And there's a balance there. And ideally, as quarterbacks continue to progress, like Baker Mayfield's going through that now, I think as quarterbacks learn in the NFL, you hope that they don't lose their aggressiveness, but you hope that that aggressiveness does get channeled to some degree, so they have a better understanding of what's a viable tight window throw and what's not a viable tight window throw.
Greg, I'm curious, from your perspective, is there an aspect of the Arthur Smith Titans offense that you're eager to see now with Tannehill at quarterback?
Well, look, you know me, Jonathan. I'm not there every day, so I'm always
right.
I'm not real quick to say that coaches are doing a bad job. The only thing that I will say, this is a team that does not line up in 11 personnel with three wide receivers particularly often, unless they're forced to based on down and distance. This is a team that lines up much more in multiple tight end sets. They have up to this point. You know, I guess one thing I'd like to see, but now it depends on other factors as well, is I would probably like to see them line up a little more by choice and by design out of 11 personnel. I think they have three quality wideouts. Now, having said that, I thought the O-line, particularly in the run game this week, was not very good at all. And I thought the interior three really struggled in the run game. And again, the one thing, though, that spreading the formation out a little bit does is it defines looks better for the quarterback, because the defense does have to declare. And ideally, you know, you get into a little more quicker rhythm pass game, which you can get into out of a more spread look with 11 personnel. So that's just something, you know, through the first six games, right? They're 2-4?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, through the first six games. You know, I think they've been hanging their hat, obviously, which made sense on the fact that they wanted to be a running football team, line up with big people, big back, and run the ball. It hasn't quite worked out that way. So, you know, That's just something I would like to see. Look, this is a team that on first down has run the ball on almost 60% of their first down snaps, which is among the highest in the NFL. So, again, I'm not suggesting with Tannehill that you're going to start throwing it all over the yard, but, you know, I think that maybe, you know, let's see if we can get three pretty quality wideouts on the field a little more often and see what we can do with the pass game.
I guess this kind of piggybacks on that, and the answer is probably wide receivers. Who stands maybe among the targets to benefit most from this change, do you figure? Is it automatically the wide receivers?
Well, theoretically, yes. And you know, the issue you face, and this is one thing that for people who aren't watching tape, okay, and it's hard because you watch a game on TV, and I don't know what angles they show on TV. I'm not sitting and just watching the Titans game on Sundays on TV, and then I watch the tape. Open in the NFL is, first of all, it's relative. You know, some people might see open differently, which is why with a lot of the next-gen stats and all that, I don't know what to make of those things because I know how I see it and how I've been taught by really good people over the years. But I see a lot of times with routes where I would view Corey Davis as open or A.J. Brown as open or Humphreys as open, and the ball doesn't get thrown even though they're in the read. So, I think receivers should benefit from this if you can go maybe with a little more 11 personnel and maybe a quarterback in Tannehill who might be a little more willing to turn it loose.
Looking ahead to the Chargers matchup, Hunter Henry's been banged up. He was out last year, out for a good majority of this season, but returned last week, did some nice things.
For 100 yards.
They went right at him. They put him right back into the offense. What area of the offense do they lack when they don't have him, and how does he elevate everyone's play around him when he's there?
Well, let's get to the main issue with their offense, and that's the offensive line. And this is where the Titans have to dominate the game, because what you're seeing right now is an offensive line that has moved people around quite a bit. They're playing with a rookie free agent at left tackle. They've been doing that all season. They had to move Feeney inside to center and now play Forrest Lamp at left guard, who obviously was not a starter. This is an offensive line group that needs to be exploited by the Titans defense. And if they can't do that and they allow Phillip Rivers to sit back and deliver the football, then it's not only Hunter Henry, but Mike Williams is really good on in-breaking routes with his big body. We know they move Keenan Allen all over the formation, and he's a tough cover and a really good route runner, probably one of the top two or three best route runners in the NFL. So this is a game where when the Chargers throw the football, Jonathan, that they need to control that offensive line and get consistent pressure on Phillip Rivers, who we know is not going to move.
Is Gordon now entrenched as the top tailback back in that offense now that he's been back for a couple of weeks?
Looks like it, but I think Austin Ekeler is a really good player, and he's a concern in the passing game because they detach him from the formation. He's very good out of the backfield. I think you could argue he's one of the top five or six best receiving backs in the NFL. And obviously he got a lot more touches when Gordon was gone. So I don't know how they're going to figure, you know, sort of work through that now that Gordon is truly back. But I think Ekeler is a really, really good receiver and presents more of a matchup problem in the pass game than Gordon does.
How are they defensively this year? Bosa and Ingram both up front. I know they have Mebane there. And then on the back end, their corners, Davis and King.
Well, they're missing people, because we know Derwin James has been out all year. Ingram did not play this past week. I don't know what his status is. If you guys know, again, they're on the West Coast, so we don't know, if he practiced yet. But he obviously was inactive this past week, which limits their pass rush quite a bit because Ingram is their movement pass rusher. He's their joker who lines up all over. And against this offensive line with the struggles that are occurring inside, he would definitely be inside quite a bit. So we have to wait and see on that. And you'll know that as the week progresses, but he would be an issue if he goes. I think what's happened is the packages have been limited for Gus Bradley because of injury. You know, he plays a lot of dime. He played seven defensive backs a lot last year. Those packages have been limited. So, it's a defense that I think is a little more predictable now, and you need to be able to attack it.
And watching the Broncos matchup against the Chargers, the Broncos were able to run it early and run it often against them. It's a different style of rushing attack with what Denver was doing. But should the Titans be able to have success with Henry in this game?
Well, in an ideal world, they need to have success every week running the ball, and they just haven't been able to do that. You know, there have been sporadic bursts, but it hasn't been the kind of sort of foundational effort that we thought we would see. Again, we didn't expect Henry to rush for 140 every week. No one does. But, you know, this past week, 15 for 28, there wasn't a lot of room. As I said, the O-line did not have a good performance in the run game at all. You know, that needs to improve. That's an area that absolutely needs to improve, because if they can't run the ball with any kind of consistency or efficiency, it's going to be a tough go, because you're just going to get into too many long yardage situations, and that's a problem for any offense. But they need to be able to run the ball. They're sticking predominantly with the zone run game, although they do some gap scheme stuff, pulling guards, but it's predominantly a zone run game.
We've seen the Broncos and the Steelers both have a lot of success against Keenan Allen the last couple of weeks, holding him down statistically. What have they been able to do successfully against him? Because he's a guy that normally gets his and gets his receptions regardless of what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, you know, if you can play man-to-man coverage effectively, you potentially can hold a receiver down. It doesn't automatically mean you do, but Keenan Allen is outstanding working into voids and zones and understanding zone coverage, understanding the leverage of defenders in zones, where their eyes are, and how to work off of all of that. So if you can play man coverage, and we'll see what Dean Pease decides to do, but if you can play man coverage really effectively against Keenan Allen, then I think you could potentially limit him.
Harold Landry leads the Titans with 4 sacks. I'm the first guy to say the numbers are the numbers. But I'm curious what you think about his impact with those 4 and beyond those 4, because it doesn't feel very big. From amateur.
No, and I would say that overall their pass rush doesn't feel very big. I know Wake's been in and out of the lineup. I don't know what his status is. Do you know what his status is?
Don't know yet.
He hasn't practiced in 2 weeks. We know that.
Right. So, I mean, you know, he may be out again. And I think without Wake, you're limited. You know, so I don't think their pass rush has been quite as good as we hoped going into this season, and as it was at moments earlier in the season when Wake was present, because even sacks don't necessarily tell the story, as you said, TK, but I don't feel like watching the tape. I don't come away watching the tape going, boy, that pass rush has been dominating, and it needs to be this week.
Interesting matchup between these two teams that are not living up to expectation based on talent acquired for both.
You hate to
rosters.
Say it, Jonathan, but you know we're at the point where it's a must-win game.
Yep, and the Chargers feel the same way, I'm sure.
Yeah, they do. Hey, can I say one thing real quickly about the NFL matchup show?
Yes.
Yeah, please.
We're now on Instagram. It's NFL matchup show on Instagram. So that's a big news for us. So I just wanted to let you guys know
we're,
that
we're going to follow immediately.
I'm following it right now. In fact, NFL matchup show.
NFL matchup show, yes.
Hey, final thing for you. Jalen Ramsey traded to the Rams. They essentially trade Peters for Ramsey by making some moves yesterday. What did you think? Prices aside, the addition of Ramsey to the Rams defense.
Well, I think that, you know, a lot of people assume that Ramsey's a big man-to-man defender. He can play man, and maybe he'll be really good at it as we go forward. But the Jags were predominantly a zone-based defense. There were opponents he did match up man-to-man, and I think he has all the traits to be really good at it. Up to this point in the season, the Rams have been a predominant zone defense, so I don't know what Wade Phillips is going to do. Don't forget, it's not just Ramsey. You play other corners as well. And if you feel they can't play man, you're not going to just line up in man. So I think just saying that, hey, they got Ramsey, wow, he's a great man defender, now everything's good, I think we have to wait and see. Because Wade Phillips has really played predominantly zone this year. And you know, Ramsey, like I said, he's got the traits to be a great man corner. So we'll see how that plays out. We'll see what Wade Phillips decides to do.
Greg, thank you as always. We enjoy the segments each week.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Check out NFL Matchup on Instagram @NFL Matchup Show.